Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Sash First Stations. I'm your host, Tiffany Purnell. I am so happy to be here today with you guys. I hope that you are having a great new year so far. I know that I am. Today, I have a special guest here with me. Today's guest is Cindy Head. She is currently Mrs. Worldwide. She will be here with us in a few seconds. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and how are you doing yourself?
I'm good. How is your new year going so far?
It's going well. We came back to school today, and it was a stereotypical Monday in middle school, and so I'm glad the first day back is done with.
Oh, I understand that. Being a teacher, snow days are really, really something that we hope for, and we do not get a lot of snow days down here, so we're holding on to those snow days, hoping that they may appear soon.
Well, in Arizona, at least in Phoenix, we don't have snow days. We have extreme heat days, but we still have come to school. We still have to come to school. We just have to keep the kids inside all day. So the teachers get a little crazy because, you know, it's kind of hard to do that. So at least we administrators take them in for lunch. But, yeah, it gets pretty warm here in August.
Well, I can understand because when my kids cannot go outside to play, they get hysterical. Like in the wintertime when it's real cold, when it's raining a lot, they just get hysterical when they cannot play. And I understand.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. And the bigger the bodies, the worse it is sometimes.
Yes, yes. So let's get started. So tell me about yourself.
I am a native to Arizona, which is very odd out here. Most people are implanted here, come here from another state. So I absolutely love it. I do love the heat, which is kind of funny. Most people think that's crazy, but I do like it. I hate the cold. I am married. My husband and I have been married for 12 years. Actually, we'll be together 14 years on the 16th. I have three kids. They are stepchildren, but I've had them for so long, I don't call them my stepchildren. So, and I have one glam baby, which is a grandbaby, but I'm too young to be called a grandma, so we call me Glamma. I am a student advisor, which is a dean here. So most of what I do is discipline. I do teacher evaluations. It's kind of like a mini assistant principal in a way. And I've been in education. This is my 25th year. So I actually have 4 years left till I can retire. And I'm actually looking at possibly retiring in 4 years. It's been a long haul. And education is constantly changing, so who knows where it'll be in 4 years, but I may go into a different field.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it's in Arizona, you know, if you look at our stats, unfortunately, we are like the 40th or 49th or 50th state in funding, and we can't find teachers, which is very sad. So, it's just sad. You know, I still go in the classroom and teach every once in a while because I do miss that part of it. But it's just, I mean, hopefully, we had a march on the state capitol on Saturday to save our schools. So, and we're constantly, you know, again, trying to do things as educators to help that. But that that's nothing that's going to change immediately. So, you know, I will say that I do it for my kids because I love them. And I, you know, remember that I'm here for the students and what's best for them. But it's kind of frustrating sometimes. Anyway, I am an only child to both my parents who are in their late 70s, and I'm very fortunate they are still here. And Let's see. I don't know much more. I like to run. I like to go to the gym. I'm a huge Elvis. You guys are in Tennessee, that right? Oh yeah. I am a huge Elvis fan.
Me too.
Yes, my husband used to be an Elvis tribute artist out here. So yeah, so we're definitely Elvis fanatics. We have the Elvis radio station on our Sirius radios. So that would probably be a little trivia there for y'all. But
well,
that's probably about it. There's nothing else really interesting.
Well, I'm sure you are. I have been following your journey on Facebook and on Instagram, and you are very interesting. And I would just like to know more about your journey as Mrs. Worldwide, because I know I may be a little biased, but I think that it's one of the best titles in the world. And hopefully one day, you know, maybe one day I can, you know, try to compete for your title. And I would not mind having your title one day.
So I have a little bit of a history with pageantry. I'll try to make it as brief as I can. My growing up, my mom only has one sister, and she had no children of her own. So being an only child and then being an only niece, spoil factor was high. My aunt was always involved in the Utah Junior Misses program since I was little, and I used to get to go up there and see her every year. Well, with her doing that, obviously she met beautiful girls who then went on to compete in the USA and America system. So in 1985, Charlene Wells actually won Miss America, and my aunt was her coach. So obviously I had the bug forever. And again, you know, as a young girl, I have a tendency to be a little on the chunky side, and I have to really watch that. Now, I know you're looking at me going, I've seen your pictures, you're not. Well, that's because I am super careful what I eat, and I'm super healthy now because I don't want to ever go back to that. But I just didn't maintain my health, and so when it came time for me to either compete in the USA or American systems in, you know, your teens and early 20s, that was not an option. So that just never entered my mind. I kind of continued to gain weight through my 20s, and I think it was my 31st birthday. My doctor said, you are extremely unhealthy. I tipped the scale at 256 pounds that I know of. I know I was heavier than that, but I refused to get on the scale. And so my doctor said, you need to either go on a diet or we got to, you know, do something drastic. So I went on a, you know, back then Atkins wasn't the name. We're talking in 2001. That wasn't a big name back then. Like, he just had put out a book. So he gave me the book and I read it, and I went on an exercise regimen, and by November had lost nearly 100 pounds. So at that point I was like, well, hey, I think I can maybe enter a pageant now as a Mrs. So I did some, you know, there's still some shape building after that. So in 2004, I saw the Mrs. United States pageant, Arizona, and so I started entering that system. I did that system for a little while. I was the Mrs. in 2004. Unfortunately, I got divorced from my first husband. Then I went for the Ms. division, and I won Arizona Supermodel in 2005. Which was really fun because I got to be in the Supermodels magazine, and I did some local stuff here in Arizona. And then I did the United Nations system, I did the international system locally. And then I did the Queen of Hope pageant, and I actually won nationals there. It was in Minnesota. So I did that for a year. And the Queen of Hope pageant, it's no longer in existence, unfortunately, but their platform was breast cancer, and the crowns actually had breast cancer ribbons in them. So that was near and dear to my heart. My aunt was also a breast cancer survivor. So that's kind of why I chose it. And at that point, she was pretty proud of me and giving me, you know, her 2 cents every time she had a chance to let me know how I should, you know, be coached, because, you know, she was the expert. However, you know, family that always doesn't, you don't want to listen to them sometimes because they're bossy. But I did listen to her a bit. And then I retired and I said, I'm done. I've proven my point. I'm in great shape. I don't need to compete anymore. And so I quit. I'm done. And I stopped competing in 2008 and just kind of went on my merry way. And then Robin Ross Holmes, who's a good friend of me, she was Mrs. Worldwide in 2016. She was at my school for career fair, and she brought her crown and her sash. And I tried it on, and that was kind of it. I'm like, I want to do this. And I love the Worldwide pageant system because of its platform.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to go home and convince my husband that he needs to let me do this because it's, I'm like, I don't need a new dress. I don't need this. I don't need that. But yeah, that didn't happen. I got a new dress and I got a new fitness. You know how that works. But he said, and he asked me why. And I kind of said two reasons. One, I was kind of in a bad place. I'm not happy getting older. And yeah, I'm just going to be honest. You kind of go towards that midlife crisis type of thing. And I already have a little red sports car, so I can't go buy another one. And, I do everything I can to keep myself young and looking young. But that doesn't – it's still a mental state. And, I mean, I'm just being honest to other women. That's just how it is and how it affected me turning 46. I was 46 last year. I even went to Disneyland with all my girlfriends because I thought, young, happiest place on earth. This is going to be great on my actual birthday. It was fun. I mean, I don't think it necessarily helped mentally, but it was fun. So I said, that will help me. I said, and two, my aunt passed away in August of 2015 of metastatic breast cancer. So she had breast cancer. And when it came, and a lot of women, you get breast cancer and it can go away. When it returns, usually the second time it's going to be metastatic breast cancer, which is stage 4, and there is no cure for it. You will eventually die from it because by the time they found it, it's already metastasized somewhere else in the body. And it's so you do your mastectomy, and then you do your radiation and your chemo, and then you wait, and when you do your PET scan, who knows if it's going to pop up somewhere else. And then she got it in her liver, in her kidneys, and so she was constantly battling it. So finally in 2015, she passed away. That was August of 2015. One of my best friends, Tierney, in September of 2015, was diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer. Like, I literally didn't have a chance to take a breath. And my friend was 42. My aunt died at 78. My best friend now is diagnosed at 42. That being said, I said the second reason is I need to do something about this because I'm done losing people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's my second reason why I did this pageant, because I wanted to push my platform, and this was such a big platform-based pageant that I felt I could not only, prove to myself and everybody, like, hey, look, a 47-year-old, or, well, 46, I just turned 47, 46-year-old can do this, but I also can do something to make a difference for people who have metastatic breast cancer. So that was kind of why I kind of chose the system. And obviously it definitely propelled me during my judge's interview, because I think that was my area of highest score. So.
Yeah, and I'm just so glad that there are pageant systems that exist today that mainly focus on platform, because as women, we have a lot that we go through. We have a lot that we are passionate about, and a lot of times we want to put that out there, but a lot of times the only way, well, it's not the only way, but the main way that women can put it out there, their platforms out there, is if they compete in the pageant. Because when you compete in a pageant, when you have on that shiny crown and that sash, it's like people automatically are drawn to you and they listen to you more.
That's true. It's kind of a sad thing. And unfortunately, yeah. And I've said that because, You know, I've done a lot of, I mean, I did so much charity work before when I was competing in pageants, and it was great because I made connections, and I still have some of those connections, which has helped me this year, this past year as well. But, yeah, come do this, come in and do this, help us with this, and come volunteer here, and we're going to put you and have you talk here. And then you don't do it anymore, and they're like, hey, I'm like, hey, and great, yeah, you can help do this. But they don't really care what you have to say anymore, which is ridiculous. And it's hurtful because I'm not any different. I'm not any smarter. Well, I guess I'm probably more smart. I guess I am a little smarter because I've done more research. But really, I haven't changed as a person. So now I go get my state title. Here I am with my state title again. They're like, oh, my gosh, yes, please come again. I'm like, really? That really frustrating. And then you know, I won the national title. And the bigger the crown, it's almost like the more they love you. And it's been almost ridiculous. I kind of laugh that I'm always posting pictures, and you've probably seen them. In the past, since May, I think I've been with, not been with, but I've helped in, been volunteer with what, I've got what, 10 or 11 celebrities that they've had me come just be with and hang out with, and because that's what they want, and I can go talk to them, and I push my platform with them. Ernie Hudson, everybody in pageantry is going to know who that what is because he was a Miss Congeniality. Yeah, he was the sergeant. And when I went and hung out with him just last month, I found out he was a cancer survivor, a two-time cancer survivor. And he and I had this really long chat. We just sat there and we're talking about it. And then he was asking me what I do, and I kind of started my own charity last year, or in May, which is last year. It's the MBC Brigade, Saving One Life at a Time, which is MBC is Metastatic Breast Cancer. And we were talking about that, and he was asking me, you know, what are my plans for it? And I said, well, you know, I'm trying to get a 501(c), which is a whole other mess. But him and I had this really long conversation. And when I went to go over to be with the other person, he's like, no, you have to come back over here when you're done. I'm like, okay. But, you know, now that I have a crown on my head, like, I'm the most important person in the world. Well, I was pretty important before then, too. But so that is kind of frustrating.
And I feel that a lot of times, even if title holders are not in a platform-based pageant system, I feel that they still need to get their voice out there because that is the time when you hold that title, when you have that crown on your head, when you have your sash, that's the time to get your voice out there. And I feel that you could really make a difference then.
Yeah, and I know I had sent you Kim Clark's name. She's Arizona Miss Woman, United States. And I know United States, every person has a platform, but they don't necessarily push it like we do. But I will tell you, her platform is STEM, and I know you're going to have her on a show, and you're going to be amazed because what she's doing with her platform and not having to do that, but she's choosing to do that, is amazing. So, like, she's my buddies. We go do appearances together. And I know we're in two different systems, but we both kind of have like minds. And she's just an amazing lady. And it's nice to see that. Like, I don't have to do this, but I want to do this because I want to help people. So it's definitely nice that some of the other queens have decided that, hey, I'm going to do something with my crown. I'm just not going to sit pretty on a float.
Yes, and I agree because, honestly, I may be wrong, but I feel that if a lady cannot, you know, do something with her title, if she cannot, like, go out and help her community or make her community a better place, maybe she shouldn't have the title. Because, honestly, when you are a title holder, it's a job. It's a responsibility that you have. You're not just given a crown and a sash just to look pretty. It's a job, and I feel that sometimes people forget that, hey, I have a job, you know, just like I'm a teacher. I show up every day, you know, on time, and I work my hardest. Well, when you are a title holder, you have to show up every day and work your hardest to make, you know, a community, your community a better place.
Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of funny, and the more you're right, like, not only, you know, my community, you know, you become a local celebrity in your community, but you can expand that, like, beside that.
Mm-hmm.
I have expanded that beyond just my community. I can go places and people are like, oh, I know you. Why do I know you? And now I will say that my parents I got my pictures done by Georgina Vaughn, and my parents have it on their phone, and anywhere they go, they show people. So that's part of it, too, probably, because, you know, it's hilarious. Proud parents. But you need to expand that. Don't just, I think, you know, go further and further and further out. And you're right. It's a second job because, you know, I sometimes make two appearances on the same day. I sometimes make three appearances in a weekend. And I'm tired. And, you know, I'm grumpy sometimes by the time I get home because you're on stage. You are smiling. You are doing what you need to do. You know, a lot of times when what we're talking about is you don't go to do an appearance in an evening gown and you look really super pretty. Now, I mean, I always look pretty. You always have your hair and your makeup done and all that stuff. But I'm wearing jeans and sometimes I'm wearing a t-shirt. I might be running a 5K. You know, I'm working doing something. I might be passing out food. That is not a glamorous job. It is not something, you know, that I get to sit and pose. So when we go out to work, it's work a lot of times, not just kissing babies and waving and signing autographs. So I don't think women need to realize that too. If you think, you know, it's going to be just that, then you got to get a different mindset. Usually when I do my my pictures that I use for the entire year, I always, and you can go on either one of my fan pages on Facebook, you will see I always have pictures done in my crown and sash in jeans and a black t-shirt, always, because I'm going to be at some point probably in jeans and a black shirt of some kind showing up to an event because that's how I'm going to come to work. And I want people to say, no, that's a working girl too, you know, and I think that's really important because your title is what you make of it. If you do nothing with it, well then, you know, you didn't probably have a lot to put in your scrapbook and have a great year, and it's what your legacy is. And so, you know, I am not going to compete anymore. This is my last pageant. Because I don't want a sash that says classic. I'm kidding. I'm not going to compete anymore. I have had a couple systems already come ask me, when do you give up your crown? When is your contract over? We really would like to have you come compete. And I'm very honored. I think that's very sweet. And I am very grateful that they feel I would be a good representation. But I hate to say it, but at my age and my job, at the responsibilities I have, I don't think I could do this another year at the full force because I need a break. I mean, I'm in July. I need a break. After that, I'll be like, whew, I get to take weekends off. You know, I get to go scrapbook in my scrapbook room. You know, I can go hang out with my friends because I don't have that right now. And it is all consuming if you do it correctly.
Mhm. And I agree. And speaking of July, I cannot wait to meet you in July.
I can't wait to meet all of you guys and the delegates. I am excited about some of the stuff we have planned because as an outgoing queen, I'm working with the director about some things that I want to do with you guys that will be super fun. So I have some super fun things planned that we're going to do in the evenings and maybe some stuff during the day. And so I am just super, super, super excited to be with everybody. And for me, it's fun because I have no pressure. I know for you guys, it'll be fun, but there's that added pressure. So my goal, one of the things that is for me to do for you guys is to help with that stress and release some of that stress and answer your questions. And if you need any help on anything, you know, and you want to practice and you want to walk or whatever, you know, that's one of the things that my job is to make sure you guys are having the best experience of your life. Because some of you might not want to do this again. Who knows? And you never know. So that's really important to me, is that you guys enjoy yourselves.
Yeah, I am sort of stressed out thinking about it. I am a little bit, you know, but.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Nationals are so much fun. But sometimes, you know, it's a little stressful because you're like, oh, my gosh, you know, I hope I'm not making a mistake. You know, I hope, you know, I think that goes through every contestant's mind at some point.
Oh, yeah. And last year, I can tell you really quick, it was kind of funny. The stage had a couple little things, so they put duct tape on the stage. Well, I'm an old-fashioned type of a pageant contestant, so we have dress rehearsals, but I refused to bring up my actual outfits to practice in them. Because I'm like, you can't see it till I can pee. And I'm just kind of, you know, like that. So I had not practiced in my dress. So, like I said, the stage had some duct tape on it. And I hadn't practiced in my dress. And when I was walking, I had like the crinoline underneath it because I had a real big full dress. It was sticking to the duct tape. And so I was like walking and I was like, I'm like, okay, I'm sticking. And so I'd have to kick my dress a little bit because I was sticking to the duct tape. It had nothing to do with me tripping with my shoes. I was like, I'm sitting there going, oh, no, just keep smiling. Oh, no, I look stupid kicking my dress, I'm sure. So it was kind of funny. But the judges had no idea when I talked to them afterwards. Like, oh, no, what? And they were started laughing. So they didn't even realize that I was, like, stumbling because the stupid dress was sticking. So, you know, anything you think when you're up there that, oh, my God, they just saw me screw up, unless you fall on your face or really seriously trip, and then you get up with brace and go, oh, meant to do that, you know. But the little stuff that you think you mess up on, they don't even catch, really. You're always harder on yourself than anything else. I actually, last year, my husband was flying up on that Thursday of the pageant, but he had called me on Tuesday. And he said, those stuff's going on at work and blah, blah, blah. And I said, stay home. He goes, what? I go, don't even come up here. I said, I'm a little wigged out. You know, it's stressful. I'm probably not going to win, so just stay home. I'll be fine. And he goes, well, if you don't win, who's going to pick up the pieces? And I said, Robin's up here. We'll be fine.
Aww.
And so when I won, I was like, oh, no. And so it was, he's like, oh, no. He's like, am I in trouble? I said, no, because I told you to stay home. But it was so funny. Like, of course, what you don't expect is going to happen is going to happen. But, yeah, I didn't even tell my husband to stay home because I'm like, I'm not doing that great. It's all good. So, you know, that was kind of funny as well. So, like I said, you won't mess up and you won't even realize it because I thought I did all this stuff goofy and I end up coming home with my crown. So, no worries.
Well, like I said, I just cannot wait to meet you and everyone else. And I'm so glad that you came on this show today. And I'm just glad to talk with you today.
I'm so excited that you invited me on here. And this was very fun. And I can't wait to go home and listen back to see all this goofy stuff that I probably said. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I said that. But anyway, you know, you always sound funny to yourself when you listen to things back, but I really appreciate it. And again, I'm excited to come back this year and meet everybody and do some fun activities and crown my successor. That's like the best part. So who knows who'll be wearing my crown at the end of the beginning of I think we moved it to the beginning of July, but by that end of that week. So I will be decrowned and passing on that hard work. And I plan to stay with the pageant and work with Ellen and like as part of the staff, because I think it's such an amazing system that I just can't 100% leave it alone. So I will still be a part of that system because, like I said, it is such an amazing, amazing system that it's just one of a kind. And I can't leave it 100%.
Well, I agree. And like I said, nice talking with you. And stay fabulous.
Thank you, and you as well. And I'll be seeing you soon.
Bye.
Bye.